And welcome into the AT&T Falcons postgame report. He's Michael Turner, I'm Derek Rackley, and I wish we were coming to you on better terms because the Falcons let another one get away from them. They come up short 20-17 to the Miami Dolphins. And Mike, let's kind of get into this discussion, maybe with a little bit more of a big picture conversation to start.
Yeah.
You and I sat here 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Falcons were battered up. Julio Jones had come out the game. Mohamed Sanu had come out the game. Vic Beasley was battling a hamstring. Schrader was not playing at right tackle. Ricardo Allen did not play against the Buffalo Bills. So we talked about the bye week couldn't come at a better time in 2017 for the Atlanta Falcons. So they got the bye week. They came back out in the first half, and they looked like a team that used the bye week to their advantage. They couldn't do any wrong, and then it was a different story in the second half.
Yeah. Coming off bye weeks, normally teams come out a little bit rusty. Got to get back into the rhythm of being in game shape, that game rhythm. You know, it's only so much you can do in practice. And when you practice against each other, you're taking care of each other during practice, making sure we get to the next week. And you thought they'll take full advantage of having that extra rest, having that time off. But, they came out on fire, like you said.
Yeah.
And it looked like, okay, the Falcons got their stuff together. They're gonna pull this one out. This might be a blowout. And unfortunately, things changed in the second half.
Yeah, so the Atlanta Falcons in this game, they get Ricardo Allen back, they get Schrader back. They do not have Mohamed Sanu. He's out for this game. I say they get Julio back because he went out against the Buffalo Bills and did not return the rest of the game, but he did play in this one. They got Vic Beasley back in the lineup. So they got a lot of their horses back on the field, which is what you need, especially following a bye week. And as we talked about, this team looked great offensively and defensively in the first half. It was almost like they could do no wrong. Right. And then the second half was just a completely different story. I'm not quite sure what happened, whether there was a lack of adjustments from the Falcons at halftime or the Miami Dolphins made the correct adjustments, but the Dolphins looked like a completely different team in the third quarter.
I say the biggest thing I've seen, the biggest difference I've seen was the Dolphins came out with a lot of fire.
Yeah.
They came out with a lot of energy. They was down 17, but you couldn't tell by the way they was – their body language.
Yeah.
Their body language was different. And Falcons came out flat. The offense was struggling. Couldn't get things going. But the three biggest things that happened were Miami came out, drove down the field, 15-play drive, got a touchdown right away. Then on defense, they got a quick three and out. So now the momentum is shifting to the Dolphins because they're saying this is our chance to get back in this game and maybe steal one.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about how the Falcons got started, but Mike and I agree that the turning point in this game was the first three drives of the third quarter. Miami got the ball. They drove right down the field, scored a touchdown. Atlanta got the ball, their first possession, which was about halfway through the third quarter already because that first drive for the Dolphins was so long.
Yeah.
They went three and out right away.
Right away.
Gave the ball right back to the Miami Dolphins, which the Falcons defense was probably still a little bit winded after being on the field so long. And then Miami goes right down the field again. So in the first three drives, you get 0 points for the Falcons and you get 14 for Miami. And that, to me, really changed the entire complexion of the game. Not just the score, Mike, but how confident the Dolphins were.
Yeah, I'm saying. They was feeding off that momentum. And, they just kept feeding off. They was feeding off each other. On offense, they was making plays and guys was cheering and everybody was jumping up and down on the sideline. Defense go out there, get a quick stop. And now they're into it. Now the defense is in. You got the whole 53 into the ball game. Yeah. Laser focus into the ball game. And, things got the rolling from there. The Falcons couldn't quite turn it on in the second half.
There's sometimes that we'll sit up here and we'll kind of break down plays, but sometimes there's a bigger picture here as to how teams end up getting back in the game. And Mike and I have talked about momentum. Momentum is huge in the game of football.
Yeah.
All the momentum was on the side of the Falcons in the first half, and just like that, in three drives in the third quarter, the momentum completely changed. You talked about it. It was a 15-play, 75-yard drive, 11-yard touchdown by Kenny Stills to start the third quarter. That drive took 8 minutes and 43 seconds off the clock.
Right.
So halfway through the third quarter, you've already lost that much time. Plus, the defense had been out on the field that long.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned, three and out right away. Defense comes back out on the field, and there's another drive that goes long for the Miami Dolphins. So your defense is already gassed just to start the second half.
They're gassed. And you know what? In the second half, they did try to make some plays, but ended up being Falcons playing sloppy, getting penalties at the wrong times. Deion Jones had a great interception there.
Yeah.
Would have been his second one of the game, but it ended up being a penalty, and that cost the Falcons big time.
Let's kind of talk about those penalties a little bit, because I thought that was a big part of this game. Is you had back-to-back penalties on the Falcons that hurt them. You talked about the one that it ended up being a pass interference, I believe it was, and then it was a roughing the passer. So two plays where the Falcons had a turnover in their hands, but because of back-to-back defensive penalties, that extended the drive for the Dolphins. And when you get a team that gets a little bit of hope early on, and then you commit those penalties when they actually start walking off the field.
Right.
And then I saw a replay of Jay Cutler after that second penalty where it was roughing the passer on Grady Jarrett. He signals first down.
Right.
It's like you're giving a guy like Jay Cutler just a little bit of confidence that he needs to continue to go on.
Yeah. You know, you can't give guys like that the confidence. You know, that's what I'm saying. Momentum. Momentum is a big part of this ball game. Any signal of hope for a team, and they're going to give it all you got, all they got. You know, they in this ball game. They came here to win the football game.
Yeah.
They didn't come here to lay down. You know, the Dolphins' offense has been struggling all year. But today, it looked like it was clicking on all cylinders in the second half.
So we just talked about the long drive that was allowed the Falcons' to defense to be on the field. We're going to have Ricardo Allen here join us from the secondary of the Atlanta Falcons. Ricardo, we just got a chance to kind of talk about those first two possessions the Dolphins had in the third quarter, where they resulted in long drives that capped off in touchdowns. First, let's go back to the first drive. I believe it was a 15-play drive. Took about 8 minutes off the clock, almost 9 minutes. What was kind of going through your minds defensively on that drive as they kind of got some momentum going?
You know, they were going to pop a couple plays here and there. You know, it's a game of football. You're not going to shut anyone out for, you know, a whole game without them making plays. But, you know, once they make a play or something like that, you have to come back together. You have to come back together as a defense and let, you know, each other know that we have to get a stop. We got to slow this down. We got to stop this. We're not going to give up seven. We can at least give up three. You know, we're not going to give up any points, at least three, no touchdowns. But, you know, they end up, you know, getting into the end zone. But, you know, at that point in time, we were still up.
Yeah,
you know, you got to keep the momentum. No matter what, they came out and scored. They came out and did this. You know, at one point in time, it was 14-17. But people didn't understand, we still up 3 points.
Right.
You know, you can't let the momentum swing because they're starting to come back into the game.
Yeah.
The end of the game, man, it's like we still got to fight.
Right.
You got to still fight. You got to keep that momentum. You got to keep your swag. Like, you're winning.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, sometimes we just got to We got to talk that through and let us know that, like, this is a game. It's going to be a battle. It was a statistic that we showed, you know, our team the other day that in the last 10 years, the first six games of the season, it was like 78% of them in the last 25 seconds were within 6 points.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, no matter who you're playing in this league, it's going to come down to an end. The first half, man, that's just to get a jump, you know. That's just to get a little ahead, you know. But you got to come out and finish, man.
Yeah. And that's what I said in the second half. It seemed like the Dolphins came out with a lot of fire, a lot of energy. And then y'all seemed a little flat a little bit. Can you explain, like, who are the leaders on the team that need to step up and get that energy going?
Myself. You know, if you can watch me on the film, you can, you know, if they bring out my mic'd up, you can see that I'm always trying to get everybody up, you know. I'm always trying to get everybody rolling. But sometimes it's just like you got to get position group and you got to get it all going. We got to get rolling together, man.
It's a team.
The one thing we have to do is we have to not look on the other side and see how hyped they are and the momentum over there, because that can mess you up. If you look on the other side and you see them jumping around and making plays and stuff like that, sometimes that steals the momentum from you. Don't worry about what they're doing.
Yeah.
At that point in time, we were still up. It didn't matter until the end of the game.
So after, speaking of momentum, so after that drive, the first drive of the third quarter, they score the touchdown. The offense comes out. It's a three and out and a short punt. So what's the mentality after you guys were just on the field for a 15-play drive, knowing that, I mean, it was probably, a minute and a half worth of game time. You guys got to come right back on the field for a team that had gotten some momentum and on a short field. Like, what was kind of being said on the sidelines or once you guys ran out to the field in the first huddle?
Okay. As you know, we're just like, okay. Time to go play ball again. You know, we just try to take it within our hands and just say, like, we're going to go out and stop them, you know.
Yeah.
We end up doing a really good job. We end up giving up 3 points. You wish you give up zero, but, you know, when you start on your logo, man, it's a high percentage of them to score.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just try to minimize the plays and we try to minimize the score. And, you know, that ended up coming back to hurt us in the long run.
Yeah. In the second half, do you feel like the Dolphins made some adjustments on offense that got the defense shook a little bit, or they were sticking to their game plan? Y'all were sticking to y'all game plan.
That's what ended up happening. They ended up sticking to their game plan, and they ran the same plays the you know, first half and second half. And, you know, the coaches, when we got into the locker room at halftime, they showed us the plays. They drew the plays up. That's on the players, man. We got to come out and we got to execute it. We got to get our communication right, and we got to go, you know, make our plays when they need to be made.
You know, Jay Ajayi came into this game, and you kind of knew that he was going to be the bell cow for them.
Yes.
seemed like it was a little bit slow going early. It looked like there was a couple times where they were in a base personnel and you guys had nickel to match. Were there certain situations where you guys were going to go nickel against their base personnel?
Well, you know, coming into the game, they showed a high percentage of pass out of 12 personnel.
Yeah.
You know, they got into 12 personnel, and they typically throw it. In the first five games of the season, that was a big throw formation from us. But coming into this game, they only had four wide receivers up since Parker got hurt. And then they end up switching to 12 personnel, and we end up sticking with our game plan, which was, you know, a nickel personnel at first. And I think Cutler just coming out there, and they were trying to find, you know, what personnel that we had on the field.
Right.
And, you know, trying to find mismatches. And, you know, when we were coming out of nickel, we would change the play to a run. And we kind of minded base personnel and 12 personnel, we would try to get passes. You know, we ended up slowing it down later on, but, you know, we had to let them, you know, get a little fired too early.
Yeah, it seemed like at that point, excuse me, Mike, that they were able to kind of get the running game going a little bit, which kind of got them back on schedule. They could go back to some play action, and that seems like when you guys had to make the adjustment to go a little bit more base when they had their base personnel on the field.
Yes, you know, that they end up, you know, getting the run going a little bit. And if you can take the run out of the game, you know, you can make them one-dimensional. You can make them pass the ball. You can make them do things they don't want to do. And, you know, we were doing pretty good in the past, but they were doing a pretty good job of, you know, running the ball and keeping the clock rolling, checking the ball down, getting the, you know, the first downs. They wasn't looking for anything to be greedy. You know, they tried the one big play. You know, we ended up getting a PI on that. But, you know, we just got to eliminate, you know, a lot of the times we were getting off and a lot of times we had them at third and long. We did something that hurt ourselves.
Yeah,
you know,
we,
you know, and that's the positive that you can take from this game. That if we take, you know, a couple of those penalties out, we take a couple of those, you know, miscommunications out and stuff like that, man, you know, we can be a really good team. But we have to take that out of our game first because in this league you can't give anybody a one-up. You can't give anybody second chances.
Well, I know you're wishing that you were sitting down here after a victory, but we appreciate you spending some time with us, man. Best of luck next week. We'll see you up in New England.
I appreciate that.
Thanks a lot, bud. It's Ricardo Allen on the defensive side of the ball for the Atlanta Falcons sharing his perspective on what he saw in that game. And, you know, he talked about it as one of the leaders of this team. He's one of the guys that needs to step up. And he was one of the guys that was saying, hey, get on my shoulders. We got to communicate. We got to talk. We got to make these adjustments. And just unfortunately, Mike, there were some of those adjustments that were not made. Or maybe they were just made a little bit too late after Miami kind of got things going. They found that balance.
They found that balance. You know what? And I love what Ricardo Allen was saying right here. That's a sign of a mature leader.
Yeah.
You know, he knew exactly what went wrong and how they lost control there a little bit. How the, you know, team losing focus, worried about everybody else. You got to take one play at a time because this is the NFL. You know, every snap counts. You know, you never know what's going to turn the ball game. You know, great job by Ricardo.
Yeah, so he ended up making that play on the pass interference call, which I think they called it on him in the game, but I believe it was against Robert Alford.
Yeah.
He ends up getting called for the pass interference. Then they had the roughing the passer right after that by Grady Jarrett. And I think outside of those, you know, kind of the big picture we were talking about, those first three drives, those penalties didn't help them either.
No.
You give a team that's starting to feel some momentum another chance, once they've got things figured out, that was really unfortunate for Atlanta.
Right, and it was coming at the wrong times, man. It was coming up on big plays. You know, one time it was a third and long with a forced up punt. They kept the drive alive. Then it bounced back, got an interception. We did get a great interception by Deion Jones. Great acrobatic play by him. Ends up getting called back because of roughing the passer. So that stuff, those self-inflicting wounds, we call those self-inflicting wounds, those hurt the worst. Because it's nothing that the other team did. It's nothing that the refs did. It's what we do.
Right.
You know, it's like, and we don't practice like that.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want to put that product in the field looking like that.
Yeah, speaking of self-inflicted wounds, I think it's a great segue to talk about the special teams mishap that happened for the Falcons as well. And that's a position that I played 8 years in the NFL as a long snapper.
Right.
Mike, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. The Falcons come out to punt. Josh Harris is the long snapper. Matt Bosher is the punter. Teron Ward is the personal protector, or the PP as we talk about it.
Right.
Now, as I sit here right now, I watched the play 6 or 7 times on replay.
More.
Maybe more, or maybe more. 10 or 11. I still don't know exactly what happened. Here's my theory. One of two things happened. I think, first of all, maybe the ball had slipped out of Josh Harris's hands just a little bit, because as I watched it back, it didn't look like it had the same type of zip on the snap as it normally happens when it's coming from center. So that's the first thing. Or the second thing is that when he snapped it, he pulled it a little bit to the right, and it ended up ricocheting off of Teron Ward's left leg.
Yeah.
Because as you and I watched it, you played the personal protector position.
Yeah.
It didn't look like Teron Ward had stepped over and got in the way of the snap, because he kind of stands straight up, Yeah. And then as soon as the snap goes by, he just slides over a little bit. And again, we watched it a ton of times. It didn't look like he slid over too quick.
No, he didn't. You know, I played that position. I know you got to give that time for that snap to go back there. And normally that snap is zooming. Like, it has a lot of zip on that ball to get back there to the punter.
Right.
And I don't know. And Ward looks like he doesn't even recognize that the ball even hit him. So I don't even know. It might have just grazed him just a little bit to throw it off and then end up in Matt Bosch's hand, and he has to try to make a play.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ball bounced about 7 yards away from where the snap happened. So Boscher has no choice but to run up. He picks it up, but by that time it's a jailbreak. There's dolphins everywhere. He's just running for his life.
Yeah.
And so they end up turning the ball back over to the Dolphins with, again, favorable field position. So it was just a string of events, Mike, that just ended up hurting the Falcons in numerous ways. Offense couldn't get going. Miami's offense was. The defense for the Falcons couldn't slow them down. But then because of a bad punt and because of the mishap on the snap, that just continued to give the Dolphins great field position.
And that's all snowball effect.
Yeah.
Snowball effect. And I don't know what was going on with the Falcons on the sideline or why things was just going just going crazy. I don't know. Because, you know, you look at yourself individually and like, all right, I only messed up one play. But you got to look at it as a team as a whole.
Right.
If I mess up on one play, then you mess up another play.
Yes.
And you got somebody else messing up another play. That stuff adds up.
Yes.
And it doesn't look pretty at the end.
That's kind of why they say that football is one of the greatest sports in the world, because you have to get 11 guys that are consistently on the same page.
Yes.
And what you were talking about is a prime example. Is it's okay every once in a while if you get one guy to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But if that one mistake ends up being a critical mistake, and then you get another critical mistake, these things start to snowball.
Yeah.
They add up, and that's just unfortunately what happened for Atlanta in the second half, is they had critical mistake after critical mistake. And you talked about leaders, Mike.
Yeah.
Before the season started, we sat down with some of the personnel from the Falcons, talking more about in the media relations and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
This team is not void of leaders.
Right.
There are a ton of leaders on this team. Yeah. So I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a lack of leadership. It's just, when certain guys are stepping up and they're going out there to make plays, the plays are not being made. I mean, the last drive, you and I were talking on the sidelines. There's a minute and a half left. They got Matt. They got two timeouts.
Right.
There's plenty of time left.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people in the stadium that probably felt that way.
Yeah.
But you get a tipped pass that just falls right into the hands of Rashad Jones.
Yeah.
And that's just, again, another one of those things that, you're sitting here saying, that's unfortunate.
Right.
But it's like we said that about 5 or 6 times in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. And how many times are you going to say it to you know, the chances are running slim, you know. But like you said, everybody felt with Matt having the football in his hands, that the Falcons got a chance to win, because he's done it so many times over and over again. But you know, end up not being a great catch by Hooper inside the five, end up being a turnover. You know what I'm saying? If he would have just held on to the ball, you know, we probably would be having a different discussion right now.
Yeah, exactly, because they were driving. They were driving.
Yeah.
Marvin Hall makes a great catch. They end up getting into Miami territory.
Yeah.
Still, as I mentioned, they still had the two timeouts.
Yeah.
They're rolling, and then you just get an unfortunate tip.
Yeah.
And an unfortunate tip that ends up falling in the hands of the Dolphins, and it's kind of the story of the second half. So I know we've kind of been going over and over and over about the bad. Let's talk a little bit about the good that happened in the first half.
Yeah, it was some highlights.
Because there's been a lot of bad that happened in this one, but they did get off to a fast start. Now, let's talk about when Marvin Hall ends up getting not only his first career touchdown, his first catch, his first NFL catch ends up going for a 40-yard touchdown. But, Mike, let's kind of dive into the play a little bit, because it's one thing for us to sit up here and just say that he ended up catching a touchdown.
Right.
But remember, that play was, there was a couple of different play-action fakes on it. There was first initially one to Devontae Freeman coming out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Then there was a ghost fake to Andre Roberts. He started on the line of scrimmage, and he ended up coming back behind the line. Matt gave him a little bit of a look, and what that did was it ended up freezing the safety. So kind of take us through the rest of the play and how Marvin Hall ended up getting wide open down the field.
Well, the design of the play, they executed it perfectly. They got exactly what they wanted. There was a lot of – when you give a defense a lot of misreads, misdirections, somebody's going to freeze because somebody doesn't know where the ball is. And that was exactly how that play was designed. They faked it to Freeman, going to the right, off tackle. And then we had a motion called ghost. We call that a ghost motion, where the receiver just goes behind the running back and quarterback like he's going to get a reverse play or something. And he ended up being just a dummy.
Yeah.
For somebody to, you know, and Rashad Jones.
Just for somebody to look at him.
Just for
somebody
to look at him. Just grab somebody's attention. And Rashad Jones was the one that, you know, got caught up in the middle. Didn't know exactly where the ball was. That gave enough time for Marvin Hall to get behind him and score to, and be wide open for a touchdown on, yeah. the, on the post route.
So they were looking, and Xavien Howard is the corner from Miami.
Yeah.
And we went back and watched it. It was zone coverage.
Yeah, he expected
and so
inside
we're like,
help.
Where is the over-the-top help?
Yeah.
Well, it's just because of all that action in the backfield. Because the Falcons generally have a really good running game, and you mentioned the ghost fake from Andre Roberts, I don't even think Matt stuck the ball out. It's just more or less, he just kind of looks at him.
Yeah.
So the players on the defense just glance.
Yeah.
They get their eyes off their coverage responsibility. So that's the reason why Marvin Hall ended up so wide open for his first career catch and first career touchdown. We also ended up having a really nice run by Devontae Freeman in there that ended up setting up a touchdown later on by Tevin Coleman. And that one, we went back and watched it as well. There was a few beautiful blocks that ended up happening on that play. Two by the offensive line, one by the tight end. Kind of bring us through that play a little bit, Mike.
Well, it was a toss play to the left side. And, you know, Austin Hooper was the key block.
Yep.
He was the first block on the edge. And he set the tone of where the play was going to go. He pushed the guy out. So Devontae Freeman knows that he's going to cut inside somewhere at some point.
Yep.
But then we had Alex Mack and Jake Matthews was fortunate enough to get to the second level.
Exactly.
Now, as a running back, when I see my guys get to the second level, I'm loving it.
It's on.
That means this play is about to pop.
Right.
And that's exactly what he did. And Devontae Freeman gave him that burst that he has, got through it, weaved around a little bit, and ended up being a big rush and a big game for the Falcons. We wish we'd have more of that today, but we did.
Yeah. So what we mean, again, just for those that don't understand, we talk about offensive line getting to the second level. A lot of times defensive linemen, they are coached to hold up, basically try to occupy two blocks. What that does is it prevents the offensive lineman from climbing up to the linebacker level. As Mike said, once you get two of your offensive linemen climbing up to that linebacker level and they cover up that opposite color jersey, as you mentioned, as a running back, that's why Devontae Freeman got through the line of scrimmage and he was untouched. That's scary for a defense, because now you got defensive backs that are trying to come downhill on a running back that's running full speed.
They're running full speed, and now you're getting linebackers pushed in your face, and you're trying to weave your way around, make your way around the blocks to get to the tackle. You know, that's not a good look for the defense at all.
So, and then there was another really good play. Deion Jones ends up making an interception in this game, and it just seems like game after game, Deion Jones is making some type of play that's helping out this team. And again, that was one where we went back and looked at it. It was zone coverage by the Falcons defense.
Yeah.
I believe it was just a four-man rush by Atlanta. They end up getting upfield. They flush Jay Cutler just a little bit, but he steps up in the pocket like NFL quarterbacks do every single Sunday.
Right.
But the problem was, Mike, that he threw it off balance.
Yeah. He threw it off balance and he was trying to throw it across his body.
Yes.
And as a quarterback, you know, those are bad mechanics. And Jay Cutler is known for having bad mechanics, you know.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a great athletic play by Deion Jones, making a diving catch there and getting that interception for the guys.
You know, Jay Cutler's a guy that's been known for his rocket arm his entire career. And I think certain times, as you mentioned, his mechanics kind of go to the wayside because he trusts that big arm.
Yeah.
And as he was coming through, he was kind of leaning a little bit to his right, and then he tries to throw it back across to the left side.
Yeah.
And there was plenty of room. We rewound it a couple of times, and there was probably a 15 to 20-yard gap.
Right.
His receiver was in great position. Yeah. It was just underthrown by Jay Cutler. Deion Jones ends up seeing it. He undercuts it, and he makes the interception. So those are some of the plays that we saw early on in the game that ended up being good plays for Atlanta. I mean, we've talked about a lot of the bad, but Mike, I think we would both agree that if you go back a couple of weeks ago against Buffalo, today against Miami, especially if you look at the Dolphins statistically, offensive side of the ball, this was a game that the Atlanta Falcons should have won. The four major statistical offensive categories for the Miami Dolphins, they were 31st or 32nd. So you're thinking, we just had Ricardo Allen here, that the defense should feast off of that.
Yeah.
And they did in the first half.
Yeah.
But this is one where the Atlanta Falcons let him slip away. This is a game that they should have won.
Yeah, you know, we got a team down there ranked at the bottom of the league. You know they're going to make some adjustments, try to improve and try to get back and try to be, you know, not so, you know, not living up to their expectations.
Right,
you know, because Miami, they don't have a bad offense. They got some ball players on offense. And, you know, with the addition of Jay Cutler, I mean, him or Tannehill, you can pick and choose who you want. But you got that horse in the backfield of Ajayi.
Yeah.
And as long as you feed him and as long as he's getting the ball, as long as he's getting his touches, this team has a chance to win every time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the difference in this game is that Jay Ajayi ended up having a good game. He has 26 carries for 130 yards. Mike, you and I were talking that It seemed like Miami was getting some very easy passes in this game.
Yeah.
And part of that's because they were able to run the football.
Yeah.
Anytime in the NFL you rush 26 for 130 by one guy,
yeah.
one guy, that is a successful yeah. game running the football.
That's the times, nine times out of 10, that team won the football game. You can just look at that stat right there. 25 rushes, a team running the ball 25 times, that means they're winning the football game.
You know, Mike, we talked about the last two games for Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions, Buffalo Bills. The problem that kept bearing its ugly head was turnovers, right?
Yeah.
They ended up on the downside of the turnover margin, 3-0 in both of those games. Turnovers was not a major deal in this game for Atlanta. Of course, they did have the interception right at the end that was costly, but it was not like it was three early turnovers that Atlanta was trying to fight back from.
Right.
As a football team, I'm sure as a coaching staff, you don't want to have the same problems hurting you each and every week.
Right.
I don't think it was the turnovers. This is now kind of a finish issue, right? I mean, this is where they just have to learn how to put opponents away, because in both of those games, Atlanta Falcons got off to a great start.
Great start.
But then it was just a different story once the second half came around.
Well, run defense.
Yep.
Because that's how Buffalo won, with running the football. Just wore the defense out in the second half and end up winning the football game that way. Miami start running the football effectively in the second half and end up putting some points on the board. And penalties.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted wounds. Things that you're hurting
yep.
yourself. And I think that's the keys to today's ball game.
You know, some of those penalties that we talked about, Mike, those happened in the first half when Atlanta was rolling.
No,
it's not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
But it's just, again, the timing of it. It just ended up being at the wrong time, the wrong place, as soon as Miami ended up catching a little bit of rhythm. So, Mike, let's kind of fast forward, because this was a game that you never want to say in the NFL that teams are looking ahead. But there is a game that the Atlanta Falcons have next week on Sunday Night Football against the Patriots.
Man.
So now they lose to the Buffalo Bills. They have a bye week. They get some of their players back.
Yeah.
They're facing up against the Dolphins, a game they should have won, they lose. So where do you think this team is going into Sunday Night Football on the road against the Patriots?
I don't know. Because I didn't realize the Patriots was the next game. Oh, my goodness, I did not realize that.
You know that's where we're going.
I'm in football mode, man. I take it one week at a time. You know what I'm saying? That's what we've been taught, one week at a time. Don't look ahead.
Exactly.
And maybe some guys were looking ahead. Maybe that rematch, they was ready to get back at them. This should have been a nice tune-up game for them to get ready for the Patriots. But like I said, got to finish. Now, I hope they learn from these past 2 weeks and finally get this monkey off their back. Because, you know, everybody's going to talk about them not finishing. But it's time to start whooping some heads now. We can't be playing around anymore. We got to get some respect back in this league.
You know, 2016 was 2016. But there was a lot to be said about the Falcons got off to a slow start last year, rebounded, and got things back together.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just a theory sitting here in a captain's chair.
Right.
Maybe the fact that they're going on the road to face one of the more daunting teams, if you will, in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady and the Patriots, a team that's won championship after championship in the last couple of decades. Maybe that'll be enough to get everything refocused in all three phases.
We
primarily talked about offense and defense, but special teams kind of reared its ugly head in this one as well.
Yeah. I mean, the time to play perfect is this week coming up.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots, any mistake you give them, they're going to capitalize on it. That's been their pedigree. And hopefully, you know, this week they learned a lot from it. Let it go. And you go out there and just let it go. Just go out there next week and play their hearts out, man. And let everything out then. You know what I'm saying? Don't think about the past. Think about right now. Because right now, this is a turning point in the season this next week coming up.
So the Atlanta Falcons end up coming off to a great start in this one. They get off to a 17-point lead, and then they end up allowing 20 unanswered in this one. They end up falling short to the Miami Dolphins. Again, a game that Mike and I thought the Atlanta Falcons should have won. And you know what? They say that in the NFL every single week. It's games that you should win, but you got to actually go out and win it. So Atlanta Falcons will be on the road next week facing New England Patriots. Mike, I appreciate you joining me. I wish we had a lot more positive things to talk about.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just dealt with you're given the cards, and you got to play with the ones
got to play with the ones you dealt, baby.
So the Falcons will go back, and they will try to learn from this one, break down the tape, and reboot and get ready for the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football up in Foxborough next week. On behalf of Michael Turner, I'm Derek Rackley, and the rest of our crew here with the Atlanta Falcons, thanks for joining the AT&T Falcons post-game report. Be sure to join us after that one late next week.
Late.
New England Patriots. Mike and I will be up late that one.